More compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Thursday. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin, and this is 1320 WILS. You know, Nestle pulls out hundreds of millions of gallons of Michigan water out of our ground every year. They want to now increase that by 60%. We'll get the latest on the battle. Meanwhile, they really give us nothing back. Also, one of Michigan's medical marijuana pioneers will be here to tell you something you've never heard yet about the prospects of legalization here in Michigan. Let's begin, though, with the story everyone's talking about. Bill O'Reilly now officially out of Fox News, the number one cable news show now history. Robert Thompson is with us. He's known as the pop culture ambassador. That's what the AP called him. He's the founding director of the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. Robert, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, now what's Bill O'Reilly's legacy, would you say, for cable news?
Well, for 15 of his 20 years at Fox News, he was their number one rated guy and made them the number one rated news channel in the country. And I've got a sneaking suspicion Fox is probably going to stay the number one 24-hour cable news channel after O'Reilly's gone. Tucker Carlson may not get quite the numbers that O'Reilly did. O'Reilly was at the very top. But when Carlson replaced Megyn Kelly, he not only held on to her very high ratings, but there were a couple of times when he actually went higher than theirs. So I think Fox has got a loyal core audience, and they're probably going to miss O'Reilly, but I don't think they're going to bail out on the channel.
Yeah, I mean, how is it that Fox really does blow the doors off MSNBC and CNN? Why can these other networks?
Well, I think what they figured out a long time ago, when CNN came out in, June of 1980, I think it was, they had 24-hour news to themselves. And people would go to CNN when there was big breaking news, and the ratings would go up. And then when there wasn't breaking news, they would go down. Fox comes along about 15 years later, and they figure out how to get people to watch their shows, especially in prime time, whether or not there is breaking news. They put personalities in there, and people didn't just want to watch when there was news. They wanted to watch O'Reilly, or they wanted to watch Hannity, or whomever. And then, of course, NBC comes along, and it's a three-network race, and Fox had that figured out. Not with a huge number. You can be in cable news. If you're getting 3 million a night, you're number one. There's over 300 million people in the country, so you just need a pretty tiny percentage of the total audience, and you can rule the roost over there.
Yeah. Why is it that CNN and MSNBC, even now, essentially copying, this format from Fox now, why are they not able to keep up? So,
well, CNN is doing it less so, and they're all, of course, benefiting from this last couple of years of the Trump era, from through the primaries, the election season, and now into the presidency. Mm-hmm. Ratings are up for all of those networks. But Fox had I think Fox probably, the reason they didn't fire O'Reilly a lot sooner, because these stories had been circulating for a long time, was because he was their top performer, and Rupert Murdoch, the head of the whole joint, didn't want to get rid of him.
But, well, now, what do you think happened here? Because these are essentially allegations, right? Other than the initial case they settled on where there were recordings, none of these other cases have been really proven. Why'd they just let him go?
Right. They settled. So they didn't go to court. We didn't see the evidence trotted out. So they are allegations, and that is something important to remember. However, an awful lot of people, not only the people who made those allegations, but general talk about what life at Fox was like, seemed to confirm an awful lot of those stories. And Fox, and this was very interesting, when they made the announcement yesterday that O'Reilly was gone, they started the announcement by saying, after carefully examining and scrutinizing our investigation about the allegations, we've decided to part ways, blah, blah, blah. So they made it very clear that it was based on their own internal investigation of the allegations that that they fired O'Reilly. So Fox itself, in many ways, seemed to have said, they haven't given us the results of those investigations, but they've told us that thanks to what they found in those investigations, that's why they got rid of him. That's what they said in their one-sentence announcement earlier yesterday. Then on the show, on The Factor, which was obviously had a different host, at the end of it, they had another statement which said nothing but wonderful things. You'd have sworn they were about to give him the Employee of the Year award as opposed to firing. Yeah,
they gave him $25 million, too, as you headed
out. Right. That's what we... So, wouldn't we all like to get fired by getting $25 million and a shake of the hand by the Pope on the day that we're fired?
That's not a bad way to go. Robert Thompson with us here on 1320 WILS, and you've been studying media for many years. You think Bill O'Reilly can come back maybe in a year or two?
Not in any place that he would call the mainstream media. There is not a chance, I don't think, that he would ever end up on CNN or MSNBC or NBC or ABC or CBS. But there are, these are different times. Look what Glenn Beck did. O'Reilly could do a YouTube channel. There are these conservative upstart venues like Newsmax and One American News that I think might be willing to make arrangements with him. I don't think any of the big operations, I mean, he is, and you're right, these are allegations, but from what seems to be common knowledge about Bill O'Reilly, I don't think anybody wants to associate themselves with somebody who clearly, by all accounts, seems to have been doing some very bad things in the workplace.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, well, I'm waiting for him to do the first interview, right? Everyone can't wait for that. For him to actually respond to these allegations.
Yeah, well, he's responded in a short way, as opposed to an apology, which oftentimes happens after these kinds of things. He is still out and out denying it, so I'm not sure he's going to go any further than that, but he continues to deny them.
Now, you say Fox will stay number one, but they've already, Megyn Kelly's gone, now we've got O'Reilly, of course, Ailes left. Is there a point where you think that'll start affecting the popularity of the channel?
Well, it's going to be whether or not, I mean, with the loss of Megyn Kelly, which I actually thought was going to have more of an impact on their primetime numbers than it did, but they moved Tucker Carlson into that position. He kept her numbers. Now they've thinned out the tribe one more person, so Carlson's now going into 8 o'clock. But I think if unless they put in some real clinkers, I think they have a very, very loyal audience. And I mean, we'll have to see. It's all speculation. But it was interesting how even after the New York Times story played about O'Reilly, not only did Fox's numbers not go down, not only did O'Reilly's numbers not go down, they went up in case of O'Reilly pretty significantly.
Well, people want to see him talking, especially when a story like that.
I think a lot of it was curiosity. Would he talk about it? Which, of course, he didn't.
Without the New York Times piece out there, would he still be at Fox right now?
Well, that finally, I think, brought it to a head. He might still be at Fox right now today, but I think at some point Fox was going to have to deal with the O'Reilly situation, and I think that became clear when the whole Ailes thing blew up. And, you know, every time someone would leave, when Gretchen Carlson left, when Megyn Kelly left, all of these stories about sexual harassment in the workplace were always part of the story of those departures. Yeah. So, but I think Rupert was willing to stick with him until there just became an overwhelming number of reasons why he couldn't, I think, either ethically or from a business standpoint.
I should note Glenn Beck, who worked with O'Reilly and Fox News, talked extensively today about working with him and said he had a hard time believing some of the stories. But he said it's dangerous when you're firing people and silencing their voice when you're dealing with essentially allegations. Do you think there is a problem here of pressuring people out of
Well, I don't think they did it just based on those allegations. They hired a fancy law firm to do an investigation about those allegations, and they claim that the firing was done based on what they found on those allegations. And let's face it, I don't think Fox would have loved to have kept their top rated guy. I think I don't think this was just, oh, we're silencing the voice of Bill O'Reilly, whatever happened to the First Amendment.
Some of the complaints,
I think this was an issue of he had been doing a lot of stuff that deserves to be fired.
Yeah, some of the complaints, he essentially sounded like he was being unpleasant with women. and talking down to them in some ways, although I'm guessing he probably did that with some men too. Do you think, I guess the question is, do you think some of it was a little too far in terms of saying he's just a bad guy because he's not being polite to these women?
Well, I don't think you pay out $13 million for being impolite. Now, of course, again, this is speculation. I don't know. I was not privy to those investigations. They haven't been released. I've seen none of the papers that went into the settlement. But I think anybody that thinks, oh, Bill was just being impolite, I don't think they'd have paid $13 million for somebody being impolite. Well, and I don't think Fox would have fired him if they would have found that in their own investigations that all of these allegations had been completely unfounded.
Yeah, no, that was definitely inappropriate behavior. I mean, the $9 million case, that was the bulk of it, was one producer, right, where she recorded him talking sexually to her on the phone, right? That was
right. That's a whole other deal than being impolite.
That is indeed.
If people got fired for just being impolite, none of us would be working.
Well, you know, what it was is on CNN, some of their contributors used to work with Bill, and one of the women there was saying, look, he was commenting about my lipstick and about my shoes, things like that, which I thought was, you know, maybe inappropriate on some level, but that was probably not the core of why he was fired.
Yeah, no, I think he got fired for more than that, although I should once again point out, I don't know. I was on Bill O'Reilly's program a bunch of times, but it was by satellite that I was 250 miles away from him.
Did he yell at you at all?
No, but I learned quickly the only way you could ever say anything on that show, because he interrupted constantly, was you figured out what you wanted to say, you had to say after his first question, because he'd let you talk for the first question. After that, all bets were off.
There it is. Robert Thompson, founding director of the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University, really one of the top media analysts in the country. Robert, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.